today as we come to the table.
What he tells him is God put you there. Now think about that for a moment. This man was an evil man. He was a wicked man. He worshiped false gods. He was the one that said, if you don't do what I say, I'm going to cut you up in small pieces and tear your house down and burn it and all this stuff. And so this is the man Nebuchadnezzar, very evil, very wicked. But Daniel says, God is the one who put you there. And why is this a mental dilemma? I think it's probably obvious already. You need to understand this. God will use whoever he wants to get his purposes done. And sometimes God even puts evil, wicked leaders in power and in place to carry out his will. So God uses even the unbeliever. The Bible says that God even uses Satan to carry out his will.
Did you know that God uses even Satan to accomplish his purposes? Satan can only do the things that God permits him to do. If even the prince of demons is under God's control, then how much more are presidents, kings, CEOs, and world leaders under the control of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, as Pastor Mark teaches about Nebuchadnezzar's dream, he shows you that God is in control of all world powers and world events. If God can use even evil kings like Nebuchadnezzar to accomplish his plans, how much more will he use his children to do great things for his glory and our good? Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Daniel chapter 2. As I left you guys with a cliffhanger last week, and I'm going to make up for that. We're going to finish chapter 2 today, but I want to read a portion of it, lay that foundation out, and then we'll go back and tear into this. Chapter 2, starting in verse 36, Daniel said, "This is the dream. Now we will tell you the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field, or the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom, inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, insomuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Whereas you saw the feet and the toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. Yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Insomuch as you saw the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and the interpretation is sure." Lord, thank you that your interpretations are always sure, that your prophecy is always sure. And Lord, even as surely as you know the kingdoms of the world from beginning to end, and you control them and direct them, you know each individual person's life in this room today, and you know it from beginning to end. Lord, if you can control kingdoms, you can control individuals. And so I just pray that as we even see, Lord, the unfolding of your authority and sovereignty in these kingdoms, we would be reminded of your authority and sovereignty in us, regardless of where we are this morning, regardless of what's happening in our life, and that you would use this prophetic message from Daniel to speak to us right where we are today. So Lord, open your word to us. We're ready to hear what you have to say, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, again, as we get into today, we look at World Kingdoms Revealed Part 2, as we started last week, as we mentioned. And last week, we ended, as we said, in a very interesting place, in that Daniel had just told the dream about what it was, but now he's about to give the interpretation. And so now, as he gives this interpretation, remember, Daniel is going to be looking forward to what's going to happen. He didn't know any of this other than what he saw in the vision and the understanding that he had at the moment. Now, we can look back historically and see the incredible detail, the incredible accuracy, again, of all the kingdoms that are world kingdoms. Again, this doesn't cover every kingdom on the earth, just the world kingdoms. But we see the accuracy and, again, the detail, and we can see how obviously it's God. No one could have ever written this but God. There's no way Daniel could have known this. Daniel couldn't have predicted this, especially even heading now into this final revived Roman Empire. And even those that would try to deny God's future prophecies, if you will, we're watching them unfold as well. So it's not just the evidence of looking back. It's the evidence of looking forward and seeing that everything that Daniel said here and later on in Daniel and then the book of Revelation is showing us what's happening right now in today's society. And we're watching this unfold before our very eyes. And we'll get into that more as we get into this today. But let's just jump in because there's a lot to cover today. Notice, we'll start in 36 again where he says, this is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation to the king. Again, it was the we being, of course, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with him as they were all praying and seeking the Lord about what this dream meant. And now he begins to tell the king is already seated on the front of his throne, full attention, eyes wide open, shocked that he could tell him what the dream was. He says, you, O king, are a king of kings. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are that head of gold. Now, the first thing to note here is the image went from gold to the top down to the bottom. As we read through earlier, we're going to see that there are greater, more valuable metals at the top, and they work down to stronger metals at the bottom. Again, not as valuable, but stronger. And the picture that God is going to give in this image is, you alone are going to be the ultimate man with authority over all the world where you can make decisions, and it's going to get less and less in that level of authority as we work down, but the kingdoms are going to get even more and more fierce, even coming down to the final kingdom, which is the most fierce of all human history, the Iron Legs, which we'll talk about more as we get there. And so, again, just showing what's headed, going to be happening down the road for not just them, but for all of us as we look to the future. Again, the first kingdom led by Nebuchadnezzar would be the greatest, and that it was represented by this head of gold. And while we'll see that a greater spiritual power and authority given to the Antichrist, because you're saying, wait a minute, I thought the Antichrist was going to be the one ultimately running things, he will have greater dictatorship and tyranny, if you will, led by the power of Satan, but he's going to have those around him that are helping him, these other kingdoms that are going to be united with him. In Nebuchadnezzar's case, he was the only one. It was him alone, literally one man making all the decisions for the world. By the time we get down through these other kingdoms we're going to see, and then all the way even to the Antichrist, you'll see the kingdoms of the world coming together around the Antichrist, and yet the Antichrist will be given this authority over the earth to crush and destroy, as we'll see when we get to later. Now, again, you can see, looking at this, the head of gold, Daniel tells him that is indeed Babylon. You're the one that has the ultimate authority again, and historically we can look back and see, indeed, that's exactly what happened. And God put him in that place. Now, it's interesting. Again, the other metals we'll talk about as we get there. But what's interesting to me is, as Daniel tells him, you are that head of gold. You're going to be the one that's going to have the greatest value in that dictatorship. I can't even use that because the Antichrist will be able to have great tyranny and dictatorial powers. But in the overall being by himself, making those decisions, at least without having others around him, you're going to be that one. And God has put you there. And this is the thing I want to point out first as we look at this, even before we work down the statue. This brings up kind of a dilemma, actually, a mental dilemma, maybe for some of you. I know for me, early on in my Christian faith, I had questions about these kind of things. But what he tells him is God put you there. Now, think about that for a moment. This man was an evil man. He was a wicked man. He worshiped false gods. He was the one that said, if you don't do what I say, I'm going to cut you up in small pieces and tear your house down and burn it and all this stuff. And so this is the man, Nebuchadnezzar, very evil, very wicked. But Daniel says, God is the one who put you there. And why is this a mental dilemma? I think it's probably obvious already. You need to understand this. God will use whoever he wants to get his purposes done. And sometimes God even puts evil, wicked leaders in power and in place to carry out his will. So God uses even the unbeliever. The Bible says that God even uses Satan to carry out his will. Again, for us, that's kind of a conundrum because we think in our mind that God's going to choose the righteous and only the righteous and all that goes with that. But the reality is God raises up people oftentimes that you would never think would be raised up because he knows that's the man or the woman of the hour. Again, I think about Samson. Again, look at Samson. This guy was a womanizer, even with prostitutes, probably a drunk to some degree, because there's that hint. We see him hanging around the vineyards of Timnah, and there really is no reason to go to the vineyards of Timnah unless you're going there for what's the result of the vineyards of Timnah. A lot of things with Samson you can look at, and yet God chose Samson, and it wasn't until Samson broke his covenant with God to have his hair cut, which was the Nazarite vow, that God removed his power, removed his authority. And you're thinking, I would have never given him that authority. He had never stayed in it that long. But God knew that it took a Samson with that type of mindset and hard brow, if you will, to handle the Philistines of his day, and God raised him up. And so it's interesting to watch how God works. And I've seen God raise people up before. They're like, why in the world did God raise that person up to be used in that place? But God knows what he's doing. And God says, this is you, Nebuchadnezzar. You're the head of gold. And notice again, 634 to 562 AB or so, BC, was when the kingdom was in power. And so he gives the first kingdom. You're the first one. But notice verse 39, he says, but after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours. Now again, remember, more valuable metals working its way down. We talked about that, showing the inferiority of that supreme ability, if you will, that Nebuchadnezzar had. And we see here the Medo-Persian Empire from 550 to 330 BC. These are where you see guys such as Darius and Cyrus and all that. And of course, it's interesting to watch how God made the statue here in the vision so detailed. Notice it has two arms. Now, we'll get down to two legs later, but that means there's two parts to this kingdom. The Medes and the Persians ruled together. And so there was a divided kingdom, united, but divided in their rulership. And that's why it's demonstrated here in the two arms, but again, not having the ultimate authority that Nebuchadnezzar has. And then he works on down and says, again, after you, there will be a third kingdom, a kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. We now can look back and see that indeed was the kingdom of Alexander the Great. We know that Greece overthrew the Medes and the Persians. Again, Alexander the Great was quite the character. He's the one that, again, we hear the term Blitzkrieg and we think about Germany, but actually they got that from Alexander the Great. And it was where you would amass massive amounts of troops and just overwhelm a city or whatever just in this rush where it's just like a flood, flooding the area. And Alexander the Great was a master at this. We'll see later on in Daniel more detail about this, because Alexander is represented as a leopard with wings. Okay, so already a fast animal, but now put wings on him. He was making the point, this guy's going to come in and take the world over in just record time, which indeed he did. Again, according to historians, Alexander was actually bored by the age of 30 or 32 because he'd conquered the entire world and there was nothing else to conquer. And again, it was the way that God gave him the ability to do that. That is this third kingdom, if you will, the Greco-Macedonia from 336 to 323 BC and down to 168, rather came in at that time down to 168 BC, Alexander the Great. Again, we look back, see it's exactly what happened. So now we see historically looking back, what Daniel predicted is what took place. And now we come to the fourth kingdom, which of course Daniel was accurate about as well, because God showed him. And look at verse 40. It says, and the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, hence the iron legs. Now notice this, even as we begin to read this, there is a difference in this kingdom and all the others. And it's going to have two legs to it. A first time it's in power, then a revived Roman Empire in the last days. Again, clarified later on in Daniel more fully and in the book of Revelation. But the thing I want you to grasp about this is the fierceness of this kingdom. And again, Rome was known for that. It says they'll be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. Again, just not putting up with anything. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Now, Rome was known for this. When Rome came into power, they didn't tolerate anything. If you went against Rome, Rome not only came in and took your leader out, they crushed everyone connected to your leader. They put down insurrections immediately and just crushed everything in their path. So they were known as an iron kingdom, a kingdom with a great strong hand. And yet at the same time, what's interesting to me about this, although we know historically that's what they were like, we know that it's going to be even worse later on. Now, it's interesting as well here. You're thinking, well, this is the fourth and final kingdom here that's going to rule and reign. If Rome is the fourth and final kingdom in Daniel's vision, why isn't Jesus back ruling and reigning now? Because Rome's gone. Well, again, hence you've already understood the two legs. It's going to happen in two phases. You have, again, phase one 2,000 years ago when Rome was established. And we see again that it went from about, again, 44 BC to 476 AD. And then Rome never was conquered. The other three before Rome were conquered. Rome is the only one that was never conquered. It literally dissolved into what we know of as modern-day Europe today. It just fizzled from the inside due to immorality and corruption and all these other things that happened, but it was never conquered. And that again goes right in line with the vision that Daniel had. The leg wasn't destroyed. It simply was there. It just faded. Now this other leg is going to come back in later. Again, it was broken up in two sections even then, broken up into east and west, as some will point out. But that was not the fulfillment. Again, we're going to see it later in Daniel, and we see in Revelation, it's broken up into two periods of time. As we said, the first leg 2,000 years ago, the second leg is going to come in here in the last days. And again, even like the first empire was very fierce, this last empire is going to be even more fierce. We're going to see later on in Daniel, we're going to read about some more imagery of this final empire and its fierceness. We're going to see, we see more details in Revelation about the fierceness of this particular kingdom, which stands out to me because again, the Bible talks about it. And again, breaking in pieces, shattering everything, literally dictatorial, tyrannical, you will obey, you have no choice but to obey. The Bible refers to it as the time of Jacob's trouble. And says during this time that when the Antichrist comes into power, overruling this, or rather ruling over this fourth revived empire, he's going to try to put all the Jews to death, not just 6 million based out of Germany. He's going to try to put all the Jews to death worldwide. And he's also going to put to death every Gentile who doesn't yield to his power and doesn't go along with his program, if you will. And it's, the Bible says it's going to be the most vicious kingdom of all time in world history. Now, you think about world history and kingdoms, that's a pretty big statement, isn't it? And oftentimes we think about, well, you know, we were more barbaric in the past, but now we're more civilized. Guys, the Bible says that's not going to be the case at all. This is going to be the most barbaric of all of them. And I do not believe, though, just to give you some encouragement, that this kingdom is going to fully materialize until the Lord takes us out of here in the rapture of the church. And we'll talk about that more just a little bit later. So I want to give you some, you know, good news after building you up so much just then. I want to be able to give you some good news after that. But the interesting thing we can see about this revived Roman Empire, guys, it is happening. And I want you to be able to put on your spiritual glasses and open your eyes wide. Most of the world is going to be taken by surprise by this. But the Bible doesn't say that this kingdom, when it comes into power, is going to be conquered by some other kingdom. It simply says it's going to come into being. And when it revives, in other words, the elements of the Roman Empire have never left. They're still a part of every culture. The Senate we have, the way that our government is set up, follows the model of the Roman Empire. And certainly it does in Europe as well. And so it's going to revive and come back together very suddenly and just be shocking to the world when it takes place. So don't be looking for some major man to come in and overtake the world. Look for the world just to come together and then give him their power and give him their authority. And again, if you don't think it's already happening, guys, just notice what's happened over the last 2 or 3 years. Now, it's interesting. In the book of Revelation, it says, Jesus said this. He said, "Behold, I'm coming quickly. All this is going to take place very fast." And you're going, okay, Lord, that was 2,000 years ago. What does the word quickly mean to you, right? But the reality is, when you look at what that word is in the original language, the word quickly there is the where we get the word tachometer. Now, you car guys and gals, you know exactly what a tachometer is, and probably most of us do, but especially if you like cars. It's that thing that every time you rev the engine, it goes whoom, 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 like that, right? That's the word he's using. He's saying, look, I'm not telling you when I'm coming back. I'm saying that when I do, it's going to be like revving the engine. It's going to happen really fast, and it's going to be like letting the race cars go, and the wheels start spinning, and the smoke starts flying, and off they go. Have you noticed what's happened the last 2 or 3 years in the world? I believe the process has begun, and this is one of the other reasons I believe we're very much into the throes of the last days. Look, just think about this. 2 or 3 years ago, who would have dreamed that world governing bodies such as the WHO or the World Economic Forum, in conjunction with all the other national leaders of the world, would almost mandate to the world what they had to do? Now, I'm not talking about right or wrong with masks, shots, and lockdowns. I'm not getting into that. I'm simply saying this. We were almost mandated worldwide that everyone had to do it or else. And if you didn't do it, shame on you, right? It was this great pressure. It came in on us now. So regardless of where you stand on those issues, my point is simply this. It was almost completely mandated. It was almost like overnight, freedom of speech and freedom of choice just kind of disappeared, and yet they haven't completely disappeared, and it hasn't been completely mandated. You're seeing the headwinds of the storm that's coming of the fourth kingdom. Because when this kingdom comes into power, it won't be whether or not you want to wear a mask. It won't be whether or not you want to take a shot. And I'm just using examples. It won't be whether or not you want to be locked down. You will have to. You will have no choice. Well, how can they make me? They can't make me. Get this. The Bible says the Antichrist, when he takes power, if you don't obey him, he will put people to death. He will control the entire world, the Bible says, in Revelation chapter 13, by having to take a mark whether they can buy or sell. Now, you want to see, is this formulating? Is this coming together? Many of you have heard about the digital currency system that's being talked about worldwide. Some of you, this may be new to. The United States started theirs last week, and it's in the experimental phase, air quotes, if you will. But they're saying that at some point, they're going to simply flip a switch, we don't know when it is, and all money will become digitized. And some are saying that they could just simply do it. Some are saying it may be some other world event that happens that make them do it. But everything's in place. The central banks have everything they need. Again, those of you that are keeping up with the news, you'll know that the central banks, as well as certain countries, are buying up most of the gold in the world. They're going back to the gold system. It's going to be used to back this digital monetary system. And what is so insidious about this? You might be thinking, well, that's great. We can just use everything's digital, come straight out of my bank. Listen, there's a lot of great things about it, but you don't realize the control that the world leaders, whether it's our nation or whatever, and eventually this Antichrist system will have over the world once that's in place. And what do I mean by that? Again, as you guys know, I do a lot of research on these things. I listen to these forums. I listen to people talk about it. I listen to the bankers talk about what they're going to do and what they'll be able to do. And here's what they're saying they'll be able to do. Because everything is so digitized in our society, all your products at the grocery store, even the gas station pumps are digitized. Everything is digitized, which means once they flip over to that system, and of course, they're saying it kind of in a very light way right now, but you can see where this is going. If we see a problem with climate and something we need to control, say people are using too much gas, we can just shut off their ability to buy gas for that week and then turn it back on next week. Or maybe they're eating too much meat because that seems to be the thing now that's killing the environment, eating too much meat, which I can't figure that one out. But either way, that seems to be what's going on. We can allow them to shop at everything else at Kroger, but they can't buy any meat. And this week they won't be able to buy any pastry, and that week they can't buy any bread, but we'll let them get this. Oh, they want to go on vacation, but we're only giving them that much gas, so they have to wait for 6 months. Listen, I'm not exaggerating. This is what they're openly talking about doing. Once it goes digitized, they literally can flip a switch, and you can't buy or sell. Now, that's not the mark, but that is the thing in place for the mark. Kanye West. Whether you know about him or know his music, and I don't really know much about him or his music, but you see him in the news. Some of you that are younger certainly know, but again, a very famous billionaire rapper, if you will. Some of his digital people got upset with him recently, and they literally shut his account down. He was talking about it last week. He said, I couldn't use my Apple Pay to go buy anything. He said, I'm a billionaire, and I couldn't buy anything. And then he made a statement. He said, if they'll do this to a billionaire, don't think they won't do it to you. Now, how much he knows and doesn't know, I don't know. But he made the point so clearly, there's going to be such control when this takes place that you can't literally buy or sell unless you do this. Now, the formulation for the mark, but not the mark. So people ask me, well, what is the mark? You know, was this the mark? Was that the mark, et cetera? Was the shot the mark? No, I don't believe so. Whether you stand on any of the, wherever you're on these issues, and I know there's different viewpoints in here, the point is, the Bible specifically tells us what the mark will be and who will implement it. And so here's what I want you to know. The mark will be implemented by a man based out of Europe. It'll be a man that says, you've got to do this. And it'll be a mark that's on your hand or your forehead. But Elon Musk is already doing the things in the brain. People are already taking chips in the hand. That's true, but that is not yet the mark. These are the headwinds of the storm that's coming. All the technology's in place. Some people are already involved in it. But it's going to be where the Antichrist is going to say, now, you have to do it. You have no choice. You have to do it or you can't buy and sell.
Thank you for tuning in to today's edition of Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Lately, he's been bringing us God's Word from the book of Daniel, where we see how to faithfully serve God and pursue an attitude of hope, even when there seems to be no light at the end of the tunnel. The path to following Christ isn't always clear, and we may sometimes go off on rabbit trails, but we can trust in the provision of God. He walks with us. He doesn't leave us. And like Daniel, we can stand straight and tall in the sovereignty of Jesus. If you're a local of Knoxville or neighboring towns, would you consider joining us for upcoming service? We have a variety of days and times we gather together in worship. All the information, such as service times and where to find us, is online at thewaymedia.net. Being a part of a body of believers is essential for not only strengthening your relationship with Jesus, but also for accountability. We need to be in a community that supports us in chasing after heavenly things and denying worldly temptations. We look forward to personally meeting you and spending time together. Remember, that website is thewaymedia.net. On that same site are links to enhance your faith. and we trust you'll take time to explore each one. Our time is about up for now, but before we go, we want to say thank you for all of our listeners' support of this ministry as we band together in the name of Jesus to bring hope to a dark nation. We also covet your prayers for this ministry so that we can reach as many people as possible. Be sure to listen again as Pastor Mark brings more teaching here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.